The Nike campaign launched last week has drawn a deluge of criticism and support. This hour, the intersection of sports and politics. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. The Nike campaign featuring Colin Kaepernick challenges people to believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. My guests, Lewis Moore, author of We Will Win the Day, The Civil Rights Movement, The Black Athlete, and The Quest for Equality, and Sarah Fields of the University of Colorado. What's your reaction to the Nike ad? To professional athletes being social activists? Join our discussion. First, this news. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Well, that Nike campaign was launched last week, and it has drawn a deluge of criticism and support. So this hour, we're talking about the intersection of sports and politics. Joining us to do that, Lewis Moore, Associate Professor of History at Grand Valley State University, also author of We Will Win the Day, The Civil Rights Movement, The Black Athlete, and The Quest for Equality. Lewis, joining us by phone. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Sarah Fields with us by phone as well, professor and associate dean at the University of Colorado in Denver. Sarah specializes in sports studies and legal studies. Sarah, welcome to you.
Thank you very much.
Want to let our listeners know that you are both speaking at Grinnell College tomorrow evening at 7:30 as part of a panel about militarism, patriotism, nationalism, and sport. It's part of Grinnell's Off the Field Symposium, and we want to reach out to you this hour, our listeners, to tell us what is your reaction to the Nike ad. We'll be hearing it in just a few minutes, the audio portion at least. It's really worth looking at online if you have a chance to do that in the near future. Your reaction to the Nike ad featuring Colin Kaepernick, do you support athletes kneeling in protest during the national anthem? Or do you think it's disrespectful? 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. River to River at iowapublicradio.org. Sarah, perhaps you can start us off by telling us very briefly, for those who don't know, who is Colin Kaepernick?
Colin Kaepernick is a former NFL player. He's a quarterback. He played for the San Francisco 49ers and led them to a Super Bowl a few years ago, who in 2016 began a quiet protest. He started by sitting on the bench during the national anthem, and nobody noticed for the first couple of times that he did it. Then a camera caught him. He was perceived as disrespectful, so he spoke with a former NFL player and Green Beret who helped coach him with the idea of kneeling out of respect for the flag and the veterans, but still raising the issue that he wanted to, which was his concerns about social justice and racism in America.
Mm-hmm.
After he did this, his contract with the 49ers ended, and he has not played in the league since.
Let's hear from that Green Beret that coached him on his form of protest. Nate Boyer, Green Beret, former NFL player, suggested that Kaepernick kneel, not sit. He spoke to Sports Illustrated after this latest ad was released.
I think more than anything, it's probably a pretty good business decision. You know, they wouldn't have done this if they didn't think it was going to be profitable. There's no doubt about that. And I think Nike over the years has been known as one of those brands that kind of, you know, not only thinks outside the box, but takes sort of big leaps on stuff like this. You know, I've got a lot of people that I think take more offense to maybe the message. A lot of people in the veteran community maybe that take offense more to the message about sacrificing everything, more than the fact that Kaepernick is sort of, the head of this campaign or whatever, or the focus of that. I think it's less about that. And some people, you know, maybe hurt by the slogan itself, but, you know, I'm not going to say he hasn't sacrificed quite a bit. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
Nate Boyer, Green Beret, former NFL player. Let's listen to that ad and get your reaction, Lewis and Sarah. Of course, Kaepernick is part of the Nike 30th anniversary of its Just Do It tagline. A TV ad narrated by Kaepernick debuted last Thursday, opening night of the regular NFL season. The campaign released last Tuesday to commemorate the 30th anniversary of Nike. It drew criticism and support from shoppers. Let's listen to it. If you haven't already, you'll want to see it online. There are so many different aspects I'll have our guests just react to once we hear it. Here is the newest Nike ad.
If people say your dreams are crazy, if they laugh at what you think you can do, good. Stay that way. Because what non-believers fail to understand is that calling a dream crazy is not an insult. It's a compliment. Don't try to be the fastest runner in your school or the fastest in the world. Be the fastest ever. Don't picture yourself wearing OBJ's jersey. Picture OBJ wearing yours. Don't settle for homecoming queen or linebacker. Do both. Lose 120 pounds and become an Ironman after beating a brain tumor. Don't believe you have to be like anybody to be somebody. If you're born a refugee, don't let it stop you from playing soccer for the national team at age 16. Don't become the best basketball player on the planet. Be bigger than basketball. Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. When they talk about the greatest team in the history of the sport, make sure it's your team. If you have only one hand, don't just watch football. Play it at the highest level. And if you're a girl from Compton, don't just become a tennis player. Become the greatest athlete ever. Yeah, that's more like it. So don't ask if your dreams are crazy. Ask if they're crazy enough.
Colin Kaepernick narrating the latest Nike ad. His voice there, a lot of amazing pictures. Lewis, tell us your thoughts when you saw this ad.
Oh, two thoughts. One, I thought it was very inspirational. You can't watch that commercial without being inspired to go play sports or to see how great sports can be. But the other thing is what I suspected of Nike is that they're not really getting involved with social justice. They're getting involved with Kaepernick, the name, not necessarily going out there and saying anything about police brutality. So it's kind of what Adidas did with Muhammad Ali, is they take this very political figure, but they use his inspiration of, you know, how he's this great athlete to inspire others and to sell product.
Sarah, do you see it that way or differently?
I agree with Lewis in lots of points, and it is an inspirational and emotional ad, and it's tied to inspire people to activity that's sport-related with only kind of tangential overtones to doing something beyond sport. It's designed to sell Nike products, and I think it will be successful. I agree that part of the inspiration is the images of a whole range of athletes with a variety of physical abilities and ages and gender. And in terms of its cross-section of athletes, it's actually quite remarkable.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not completely up to date within the last hour, but as far as whether this pays off for Nike, but originally Nike shares slid in the wake of this controversy. They've since recouped their losses. I think sales of Nike shoes have jumped after we saw those viral videos, Lewis, in the news of people, some people burning Nike shoes. So more buying than burning out there, right?
Right, and the people who burnt their shoes had already bought their shoes, so that was a really weird form of protest. But I think what Nike understands is that young people have buying power, and specifically Black people in America have buying power, and they are tapping into that by signing Kaepernick. And you see that the results of that right away, that people were very outwardly spoken on like social media or Twitter saying, I'm going to go buy me Nikes. I talked to somebody at work last week who said, you know, when my paycheck comes in, I'm going to the Nike outlet and getting my whole family Nikes.
Hmm. Well, let's listen to criticism. The chief criticizer in this case, the president, President Trump, here he is at a rally in Montana earlier this month. He He criticized Nike about this new ad.
I don't like what Nike did. I don't think it's appropriate what they did. I honor the flag. I honor our national anthem. And most of the people in this country feel the same way. They feel the same way, people.
So we have these two competing narratives. Sarah Fields, let me go to you with this. Two competing narratives. Now, Colin Kaepernick will say it's a move, a protest in favor of social justice against police brutality, perhaps. The president there saying this is disrespectful to the flag, to the anthem, to the military. Who gets to say which narrative is behind this kneeling during the national anthem?
Well, I think we've got a couple of different issues going on with this conversation, and part of it is about the flag. And Nike makes no reference to the flag directly in its ad. In fact, I don't even recall if there is a visual image of the flag in the ad. The president is intentionally conflating Colin Kaepernick in every aspect of his life with Colin Kaepernick, the social activist. And clearly, Nike picked up on Kaepernick because of his activism and his notoriety, and they're playing on it with the tagline of believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. But in terms of who gets to decide the competing narratives, I think that's the beauty of America. We all do. Those who decide that this is about disrespecting the flag believe so completely, and those who believe that this entire matter is about bringing attention to issues of social justice and racism and structural racism in America are equally entitled to do so. And the trick is to have a civil conversation to see if we can find middle ground and places that we agree and places where we can make improvement.
Sarah
and Nike hopes that we can also buy some Nike products in the process.
Sarah Fields is with us of the University of Colorado, Denver. Lewis Moore, author of We Will Win the Day, The Civil Rights Movement, The Black Athlete, and the Quest for Equality. Join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100. What's your reaction to the Nike ad? To kneeling during the national anthem, we saw a few athletes do that in the opening of the NFL this past weekend. Do you support athletes kneeling in protest, or do you think it's disrespectful? 1-866-780-9100. Let's go to our first caller, Ann in Iowa City, 1-866-780-9100. Hi, Ann. Give us your thoughts. Ann, are you there? Okay. Ann, not there at the moment. We'll try to fix that and get Ann back. Sorry about that, Ann. Tell us, Lewis Moore, Colin Kaepernick, certainly not the first black athlete to protest. Tell us about some others that come to mind for you.
Oh, yeah. So Kaepernick sits on the shoulders of some giants. So Jackie Robinson, throughout his baseball career and after his baseball career, spoke up for civil rights. He actually spoke out against police brutality on several occasions. Bill Russell, who played for the Boston Celtics, won 11 championships, was always in the news speaking out against social injustices and for civil rights. And in the context of the flag, 1960, Mudcat Grant got suspended for singing during the national anthem, "This Country Ain't So Free, I Can't Even Go to Mississippi." So Mudcat Grant is a pitcher, 20-game winning pitcher. And when he sings this, it's in Cleveland in the bullpen. His pitching coach overhears him, and he's a white Southerner, right? And here's this black guy saying this, and he goes off on him, calls him the N-word, and Mudcat Grant leaves the game and gets suspended for 2 weeks. And then famously, John Carlos and Thomas Smith, 50 years ago, protesting during the national anthem after Thomas Smith wins the 200 and John Carlos wins the bronze. And you know, they get kicked out of the Olympic Games for that.
Yeah, right. We have that image in our head. Those of us who were around the 1960 Summer Olympics, Tommy Smith, John Carlos, standing there on the podium, getting their medals, fists raised in black gloves, right?
Right, black gloves and black socks and with their vests open. So it's really it was a protest about racism, about poverty in America, and just a signal to the world what's going on in America.
Lewis, how was that received at that time? It's seen now as part of the civil rights movement with so many decades since. It's probably viewed now differently than it was then. Was it viewed immediately then the same way it is today?
No, a lot of people hated it. Tommy Smith got death threats. Tommy Smith's family got death threats. And then I've been, over this last year, going through a bunch of newspapers from that era. And for the most part, people saw them as traitors, and they were really upset at what those two men did. And it's only been recently where we look at this like as a larger society and are okay with this. Now, on the ground, working class folks, young black Americans, they loved it. But, the middle class America, most America, especially in the Deep South, they hated what they saw.
And what happened to Tommy and John when they came home?
So they got kicked out of Olympics right away. They came home and they struggled. Now, Tommy, which is interested in the Kaepernick situation, a year later, he does get signed by the Cincinnati Bengals and plays a couple years of professional football. But when the Bengals did sign him, he got death threats. He got two death threats within the first month of signing with the Bengals.
Okay. Join our conversation with Lewis Moore and Sarah Fields as we discuss the intersection of sports and politics on this edition of River to River. I'm Ben Kiefer. Let's go back to our phones, 1-866-780-9100. Jamie joining us from Jewell. Hi, Jamie.
Hi. How's it going?
Very well. What's on your mind in this context?
I'm just thinking about my two stepkids, and they are big fans of athletics, and the messages that they're receiving from all of these political situations going on, and just how positive the situation could be from both perspectives. As far as the NFL and athletes protesting for the things that they believe, I think it's great that that is an example to our kids that you can be an athlete and have your own personal beliefs and use whatever platform may be available to you, however the consequences may fall. And oppositely, for Nike to embrace that as an opportunity to continue to be open-minded and show that our youth can look at multiple perspectives on a situation is excellent. I find it saddening, however, that all of this can be spun into such a negative twist that it is so politically charged. And I think that that sends a loud message to our kids, too.
Mm-hmm. Jamie, thank you for your comment. Sarah Fields, comment on that also. We haven't really talked about the NFL's perspective here, how they have reacted. We talked about the president, but the NFL stands here.
Yeah, the NFL as an organization is intended to make money, and they were concerned about the negative repercussions and the president's tweets and the president's comments and how that impacted viewership and basically the ability of the NFL to function as a business. And so in response to that, in the offseason, they attempted to create a policy in which they said essentially that every player had to stand respectfully for the national anthem. And this is a policy the NBA and other leagues have. But they gave the players the out. They didn't have to be on the field during the national anthem. The president and other critics said that this was an unacceptable kind of compromise, and in fact the collective bargaining agreement may not allow this. So the NFL Players Association, the union, raised issues, and the ownership put the policy on hold, and I saw a report in the last couple of days that says they're not going to implement it. They'll take the off-season to negotiate with the union to try to figure out a middle ground.
Mm-hmm. So Nike definitely taking a stance here. I mean, based on what you just said there, is the NFL wavering, taking a stance? Does it know what it should be doing?
I'm not sure that the NFL does know what it should be doing, and to be honest, I'm not entirely sure I could offer them really good advice. As a business organization, they're in a difficult position. They have spent decades embracing the flag and working under the guise of militarism and patriotism to help promote their product. And now they are in a difficult position because the perception of some people is that the protest of kneeling during the anthem is disrespectful to the flag, to the military, and to other first responders.
Mm-hmm.
And that puts the NFL in a different challenging position because an equally large portion of America supports the players' protest and their right to protest and thinks that we should be talking about the issues being raised by the protest rather than the protest themselves, per se.
Right. So we have two commercial enterprises, the NFL and Nike, choosing different paths there. So, Sarah, they're trying to get a gauge on I guess the NFL, a broader spectrum of people than Nike? I don't know.
I think so, although I have to say I find this particularly fun from the outside because remember that Nike, of course, provides the uniforms for the NFL.
Right.
So they have a business relationship as well.
Right. And we saw in news related to this that Louisiana mayor tried to ban, I think his memo was outed, he tried to secretly to ban his city from purchasing Nike equipment for recreational facilities. Louisiana city mayor. Before we take a break, let's go back to our phones quickly. Let's go to Peyton in West Des Moines. Hi, Peyton. Coming up on a break, but we'd sure love to hear what you have to say. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I just wanted to kind of walk back the conversation a little bit. I think it was a professor had said it was up to people to interpret what the protesting was about. And I think I disagree with that. Kaepernick was very clear from the beginning that he was protesting social injustice, and it was never about the military. In fact, he talked with someone from the military to find out how best to protest. So whether or not you have an opinion on how he's doing it, I don't think there's an opinion out on what it is that he's protesting, and for people to try and paint a narrative about him being anti-military or unpatriotic, I think tarnishes the conversation.
Right. Okay, Peyton, thank you very much. And I think that was your comment. But it was your comment. In fact, we don't always get to define what our protest means, do we? I mean, in actual fact, even though we mean it in a certain way, the message may be received a different way.
Correct, and I appreciate the caller's clarification. I completely agree that Colin Kaepernick has been crystal clear about what he is protesting about and what he is not protesting. But the interesting challenge in all this is that the means of protest has become, in many ways, the focus of conversation, which is unfortunate because it takes away from his direct message. On the other hand, I've been trying to think of ways, because you hear people say this isn't the way that he should be protesting or that any of the players should be protesting, and I was trying to figure out alternative ways that people would pay attention. And I don't know that I can come up with one that would be as effective as this.
Well, kneeling, you could go into a Catholic church, kneeling is a sign of great respect, right? So there is that gesture. Let's squeeze in Alan before the break. Alan calling from Clarion. Have to ask you to make it quick, Alan, but thanks for calling.
Thank you for having me. I agree with the guy that last called, but my whole family's military. My uncle, my brother, God rest his soul, was EOD for 12 years. And to kneel on the national anthem, yeah, you've got the right to do that, First Amendment. But just remember, people like me, my brother, my dad, my uncle, fought so you could have the First Amendment. And think about the repercussions that you're doing. You can do it someplace else, not disrespecting the military and our flag. Our flag means everything to me.
Okay, Alan, we sure chime in with that thought. Alan in Clarion. Lewis, we have 30 seconds for you before we go to break. Anything to say to Alan?
No, I think that's the beauty of what Cap did, is that it sparks this conversation about what truly is patriotic or not. And in my opinion, I think, you know, protest is patriotic. We don't get these rights without people protesting. And I think that gets lost in this whole conversation.
Okay. Lewis Moore is with us, associate professor of history at Grand Valley State University, author of We Will Win the Day, The Civil Rights Movement, The Black Athlete, and The Quest for Equality. Sarah Fields, professor, associate dean at the University of Colorado, Denver, as we talk about the intersection of sports and politics. We'll talk about Serena Williams this past weekend as well. We'll talk a little bit about women protesting as well, and the degree to which they're in this picture. Join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100. Ben Kiefer back in just a moment with more of River to River. And we're back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer, talking about the Nike campaign launched last week, drawing both support and a lot of criticism. This hour, the intersection of sports and politics, with Sarah Fields, professor and associate dean at the University of Colorado in Denver, Lewis Moore, associate professor of history at Grand Valley State University, author of We Will Win the Day, The Civil Rights Movement, The Black Athlete, and The Quest for Equality. Join our conversation. Lots of input this hour. Thank you so much. And please hold on the line. We want to get to as many callers as possible. 1-866-780-9100. Kaepernick narrating that ad the update of the Just Do It tagline in a TV ad narrated by Colin Kaepernick, debuting on the opening night of the regular NFL season. We heard the president earlier in the month criticizing it. Well, let's hear from the Texas senatorial candidate, Democrat Beto O'Rourke. He's giving Ted Cruz a run for his money there in Texas for that Senate seat, according to polls. He took a question about football players taking a knee during the national anthem. It went viral online. He was asked by someone in the audience how he felt about the action at the campaign event, and started by saying that reasonable people can disagree, and then went on to talk about how civil rights activists also sacrificed for the growth of the country. Let's listen into a little bit of that video based on a reaction to a question from an audience member at a campaign rally. This is Beto O'Rourke.
The freedoms that we have were purchased not just by those in uniform, and they definitely were, but also by those who took their lives into their hands riding those Greyhound buses, the Freedom Riders, in the Deep South in the 1960s, who knew full well that they would be arrested, and they were serving time in the Mississippi State Penitentiary. Rosa Parks getting from the back of the bus to the front of the bus, peaceful, nonviolent protests, including taking a knee at a football game to point out that black men, unarmed, black teenagers, unarmed, and black children, unarmed, are being killed at a frightening level right now, including by members of law enforcement, without accountability and without justice. And this problem, as grave as it is not going to fix itself. And they're frustrated, frankly, with people like me and those in positions of public trust and power who have been unable to resolve this or bring justice for what has been done, and to stop it from continuing to happen in this country. And so nonviolently, peacefully, while the eyes of this country are watching these games, they take a knee to bring our attention and our focus to this problem to ensure that we fix it. That is why they are doing it. And I can think of nothing more American than to peacefully stand up or take a knee for your rights anytime, anywhere, any place. So thank you very much for asking the question.
Okay, Beto O'Rourke, the Texas senatorial candidate, a Democrat, also white, we should mention in this context. Lewis Moore, so there we have it. We had the caller from Clarion. We have Beto O'Rourke. You can see this as you want in completely 180-degree difference, right?
Right, right. And what Beto was saying, though, is awesome, as I was trying to get to it last time. It's just the idea that on the one hand, the military upholds these rights, but on the other hand, we've really had to fight since we became a nation to get full democracy, right? And police brutality, right? The end to police brutality and the end of criminal justice system, or a more just criminal justice system, has been part of the civil rights platform for a very long time. And I think what Colin Kaepernick did was wonderful in the sense that it put it front and center right there. And now, as a nation, for the last 2 years, in theory, we were supposed to deal with it. But instead, what happens is when we start talking about, well, this is about the military and this is about disrespect, I don't like the way you protest, we get away from the issue. And so hopefully we can get, you know, with Kaepernick's ad, we can get right back to the issue of dealing with police brutality.
Let's go back to our phones. Mary Ann joining us in Ames. Hi, Mary Ann. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. The thing I wanted to point out is that I find some real hypocrisy in picking on the black athletes who are peacefully protesting. This summer, I was down in Florida visiting my brother, and he took us to a Tampa Bay Baltimore Orioles game. During the national anthem, and later in the anthem when they're saying, "Oh, say does that star-spangled banner ever wave," when they started to sing the word "oh," the Oriole fans around us literally screamed, "Oh!" So you couldn't even hear the anthem. Nobody said a word about that. I don't know if that goes on at the home games in Baltimore, but it happened at the game I attended. And I found that to be more disrespectful of our national anthem than somebody kneeling peacefully. And the other thing I wanted to point out is, as it was mentioned earlier, football is a business. Why are we singing before a business begins its play? These football players are going and doing their job. None of us who go to work every day are asked to sit there and sing the national anthem before we work. So maybe the solution would be is to remove the anthem from athletic events, because there's no patriotism tied into that whatsoever. It's a false notion that this makes us patriotic by singing it before the football games. It's a business, mm-hmm. and people are going to work.
And Mary Ann in Ames, thank you very much. What do you think of that, Sarah Fields? I don't know how far back it goes, the national anthem connected with anything from, you know, kids' sports all the way to the pros. It's a tradition.
It is a tradition, but it's not been forever. And Lewis can correct me because he's a far better historian than I am, but there were stretches where professional leagues in the U.S. didn't play the anthem, and then they would revive. And post 9/11 particularly, we've been quite patriotic with our professional leagues, and it has trickled down. When I was a kid back in the 70s playing youth soccer, we never sang the national anthem before games. We just started to play. And this is also an American phenomenon. I've talked with international athletes, and the foreign professional leagues don't do this. They don't play the anthems before national anthems before games. In fact, the Italian Premier Soccer League Series A has their own national their own anthem, and they play the league anthem and salute the league flag before games. They don't do the Italian anthem or the Italian flag.
Lewis, anything to add to Sarah's comments there?
Yeah, I would say just specifically baseball started to play the national anthem in 1919, and when we look at that, that's at a time, we talk about the military, that's at a time when our military was segregated, right? And so we never wrestle with the history of playing the anthem during these sporting events and when it starts. And another story I have to add is during the early 70s, Madison Square Garden stopped playing the anthem. They're going to stop playing the anthem at a major track event, and people had a huge uproar. And why they're going to stop playing is because they didn't want people to protest the anthem anymore. And the organizer of the event just came out and said, look, sports isn't the place to prove your patriotism. And I think that's important to keep in mind, that this is not the time and place where you prove your patriotism. But what happens, as Professor suggests, is that post 9/11, sports becomes that place, right? And so all these leagues buy into the militarism, they buy into the patriotism, and this is where we're at.
Lewis Moore is with us of Grand Valley State University, Sarah Fields of the University of Colorado at Denver. Let's branch out from the NFL. You've mentioned other sports here. In 2016 at the ESPYs, it's an award show to recognize individual team and athletic achievement. LeBron James and other NBA players spoke out on behalf of the Black Lives Matter movement. Here's a bit of LeBron James.
We all feel helpless and frustrated by the violence. We do. But that's not acceptable. It's time to look in the mirror and ask ourselves, what are we doing to create change? It's not about being a role model. It's not about our responsibilities or the tradition of activism. I know tonight we'll honor Muhammad Ali, the GOAT. But to do his legacy any justice, let's use this moment as a call to action for all professional athletes to educate ourselves, explore these issues, speak up, use our influence, and renounce all violence. And most importantly, go back to our communities, invest our time, our resources, help rebuild them, help strengthen them, help change them. We all have to do better.
NBA star LeBron James in 2016. Sarah Fields, is there something special about the NFL? Is it a coincidence that it's most of the focus of this athlete activism protests is focused on the NFL at the moment and Colin Kaepernick? Or do the sports, are they different in a way that would make sense that the NFL is sticking out in this way?
I think that right now at this point in time, football is still America's game. It is our national pastime in a way that baseball was for a very long time. I think football has overcome it. And I think, therefore, we pay much more attention to it. It's the bulk of our media coverage, sports media coverage, is about football. It's not about other leagues in the same way. Other leagues also, the NBA had their rule about standing respectfully from the anthem, because in the late 90s, there was a Denver Nuggets player who protested during the anthem, and he was fined and punished. He later argued that it ended his NBA career early, and he did so to highlight concerns about social justice in America. That was, I'm looking back at my notes, 1996.
Mm-hmm.
But the big thing is people pay attention to the NFL in ways that we don't to other leagues. In 2016, the WNBA players, starting with the Minnesota Lynx, wore T-shirts that read, "Change starts with us, accountability and justice." And on the back of the T-shirt, it had Philando Castillo's and Alton Sterling's names, along with the phrase, "Black Lives Matter." It didn't get a lot of coverage, but the WNBA doesn't get a lot of coverage. The NFL does.
Right. And within the NFL, Colin Kaepernick was a very good quarterback, but not in the Tom Brady category. I guess you'd agree. Lewis Moore, what if it had been a white superstar quarterback who had made this protest and not a Colin Kaepernick?
Oh, that's hard to imagine because we've never seen anything like that. But I think that's where we need to get, right? And so you can see someone like an Aaron Rodgers. Last year during an interview, he was asked about the situation, and he was saying that, hey, that's, you know, I respect these guys, you know, right to kneel, but that's their problem. But this year, he's kind of understood where it's at. And I think once you get someone like an Aaron Rodgers speaking out or Chris Long of the Philadelphia Eagles speaking out and they're white, I think it changes the conversation, right? I think it moves, once they do that, it moves from a that's a them problem to that's an our problem. And so that's what I think we're waiting for, is someone like a Drew Brees, a Tom Brady, or an Aaron Rodgers, not just to say, hey, I get it, but to come out forcefully and say, this is wrong.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to our phones. John is with us in Charles City as we finish up our conversation on the intersection of sports and politics with Lewis Moore and Sarah Fields. John, in Charles City, welcome to the program.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine.
Okay, yeah, I just wanted to say this whole thing took a big turn as soon as President Trump took his opinion to it. And, you know, the whole idea of Kaepernick kneeling was never about the troops. It was never about, you know, disrespecting our military, our first responders, or anything like that. And as soon as Trump put his 2 cents in, that's when the whole thing took a turn and he was sidelined and kicked out of the league, basically. And it's unfair, you know. He was just protesting and showing his First Amendment rights, and that's what we're allowed to do here in this country.
John in Charles City, thank you very much. It's interesting, Sarah Fields, that other hypothetical, what if we had had a president who hadn't reacted as such a harsh manner as this president has?
I think that the president's reaction and the president's bringing it up repeatedly keeps it in the news. Every tweet, every rally utterance gets focused on. And if that hadn't happened, the NFL, I think, might have been able to have a different conversation internally. But this just helps feed the media frenzy and allows it to be politicized, again, not about the issues that the players are trying to address, but about the method of protest.
I want to branch out here this weekend and talk about female athletes in this case. I think a related sort of theme brought up this weekend at the U.S. Open. Serena Williams, given a game penalty for verbal abuse of an umpire, she was upset because earlier in the game, the umpire had docked her a point for getting a thumbs up from her coach, which the umpire said, was cheating. She felt strongly he owed her an apology. The umpire owed her an apology for accusing her of cheating, saying at one point that she doesn't cheat and that she would rather lose. Here's a little bit of that audio from this past weekend.
When are you going to give me my apology? You owe me an apology. Say it. Say you're sorry. Well, then don't talk to me. Don't talk to me. Dare you insinuate that I was cheating?
Serena Williams still fuming. Carlos Ramos. She's demanding an apology from him for the insinuation that she had cheated, that there was coaching going on. Again, and any player, they're going to bear the blame when it's the person in the player box who is actually accused of something.
Yeah. Serena was watching her coach give her a hand signal.
Violation, verbal abuse,
and now,
Mrs. Williams.
Wow. Game penalty.
Penalty, verbal abuse against Serena Williams this past weekend. A lot of different points here to discuss, but Lewis, your reaction first, then we'll go to Sarah, because it is related to this discussion, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I think first reaction is that Osaka played an incredible match and and we have to give her just due. But when it comes to Serena, what we see with tennis and all sports is that they have rules, right? And I think everybody watching it agrees that you know, she has some infractions. But the other thing about sports and rules is that it's really arbitrary about how umpires dole these punishments out. And what she was bringing up was that he doesn't treat men like that. And I think with tennis specifically, it's the one sport where we see men and women really on the same field at the same time, you know, one they play at the same day. And so it's really highlighted the sexism that she's pointed out. But what else is going on is that Serena is a black woman, and she's a black woman in a sport that doesn't have a lot of black women. And she's a black woman in America where black women are tagged as being aggressive. And so the conversation went from the rules infractions to her being aggressive, to her being loud. And what other people are pointing out, and I think correctly so, is that when a black woman like that is aggressive and loud during a sporting event, it's not seen as the way we see a man, right? We see a man as being very passionate, just wants to win. We see her as being aggressive, being overbearing. And I think that's the healthy part of this conversation, because now, because of this, we get to have a conversation about race and sexism.
Mm-hmm. Sarah Fields, I think you identified yourself early in the program as a child of the 70s. So am I. And I remember John McEnroe and his antics on the tennis court playing Jimmy Connors or Bjorn Borg. I mean, there were a lot of verbal abuse from a guy like John McEnroe, right?
Yes, I was thinking precisely that. I think "you're a thief" might have been the nicest thing John McEnroe said to an official.
Right. So what is your take on the Serena Williams discussion, Sarah?
I agree with Lewis on all of his points, and I would add that Serena's also looking at a history of being treated differently both within the women's game and the grander scheme of tennis throughout her career. And I attribute it largely to the fact that she is a black woman. And now, you remember there was a while ago where we used to talk about Michael Jordan and the Jordan rules and greatest player of all times, and things got bent to his favor in the NBA. Serena is clearly the greatest of her generation and possibly the greatest of all time, and she doesn't get a break. Martina Navratilova, another tennis great, criticized Williams' behavior and thought that Williams needed to take the higher road and that we should elevate tennis to the women's level as opposed to taking it down to John McEnroe level. But I think one of the things that she missed, unfortunately, in her criticism is that Martina herself mentioned that often referees will say something quiet. The officials will say something quietly to the athlete if they think the coach is coaching from the box, which is a violation in the majors. And Martina said, "Well, if that had happened, maybe this would be entirely different." Serena didn't get a break at any stage during that finals match, and her status, both as an athlete and as the greatest all time, really kind of earned her a break, because we saw a mid-level man get all kinds of breaks when an official came down and calmed him down during a match earlier in this tournament.
Mm. Let's go back to our original theme, Colin Kaepernick, the protest, the kneeling during the national anthem, and get your final thoughts, Lewis and Sarah, as we finish up this hour. I guess a question for you, Lewis, right now is, what is happening with Nike, Colin Kaepernick? Is this opening the door for other athletes? How do you see this in a larger historical context?
I hope so. In the larger historical context, shoe companies didn't really reward people for their politics, right? And so the black athlete since O.J. Simpson, before O.J. Simpson was a murderer, right? The black athlete since then have been, to get endorsements, they had to be quiet, like a O.J. Simpson or a Michael Jordan. And I think what Colin Kaepernick does is allow these athletes to be human, right? To be political at a time where everybody's political. And I think that's a good thing. But I think I would warn athletes just to check themselves a little bit, is not everybody's going to get that break. So Colin got lucky that Nike came calling, put him as the face of the Just Do It campaign. And I would be cautious if I was another athlete, think that I could be very political and then still get my endorsement deal like Kaepernick and also keep a job.
Mm-hmm. Sarah, will other companies follow suit with Nike, and that will encourage other athletes to protest, I guess, do you think?
Much will depend on how much money Nike makes and how much they lose. If Nike makes a ton of money and they don't suffer any real financial consequence from this, yes, I think that, other companies with the appropriate target audience will follow suit. A couple of years ago, I live here in Denver, and a Denver Bronco named Brandon Marshall took a knee, and he lost two of his local endorsements with the Air Force Credit Union and with a local car company because of his actions. The folks who frequent the Air Force Credit Union are different than the folks who buy Nike. It's a different audience. So I think there's always that risk of losing your endorsements with a different audience. But I would expect Adidas, Puma, Under Armour potentially to follow similar tracks if Nike makes money.
So the jury's still out whether this is brilliant or bust, but it sounds, Sarah, like you're going with trending towards brilliant.
If I were gambling, I'd put money on Nike right now.
What about you, Lewis, in closing?
Yeah, I'm going to put my money on Nike.
All right.
Yeah.
Lewis Moore, Sarah Fields, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for having me.
River to River is produced by Lindsay Moon, Emily Woodbury, and Caitlin Harrop. Also help today from Shirley Wong. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. We always welcome your comments and questions about this program. You can write us. Give us an email, rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.